This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A new informal poll shows that a majority of North Carolina teachers don't want to carry a gun into the classroom. State Superintendent Mark Johnson sent the poll to public school teachers across the state last week, got more than 19,000 responses in the first 24 hours. Liz Schlemmer is WUNC's education policy reporter. She's covering the story. Welcome, Liz.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Good to have you here. Tell us about the survey. What are we asking in this survey?
So State Superintendent Mark Johnson sent this to all public school teachers across the state. That includes charter schools and traditional public schools. And he sends polls like this from time to time. He typically sends out an email about once a month, sometimes puts in a video message. And this time he said to teachers, I want to hear from you. Would you like to be armed? And there were two questions on this poll. The first one asked, would you personally like to carry a firearm to school? And the second one asked, you know, assuming that they had extra training, would you like to have some teachers and administrators have access to a firearm at school?
All right. What did he find out?
Well, he heard from more than 22,000 teachers across the state, and there are about 100,000 public school teachers. So he heard from more than one in five teachers.
Wow.
And on the first question about whether the teacher would themselves like to carry a firearm, about 25% of teachers said yes, and 66%, right at two-thirds, said no, they would not.
Well, Liz, let's talk about the other part of the survey, whether or not there's an overwhelming majority that says we don't want to carry guns. On the other hand, a slightly different response when it came to would you be comfortable with other trained personnel carrying guns in school, right?
Yes. Yeah, so about 40% of teachers said that, yes, they would be comfortable with another trained teacher being able to have access to a firearm. So that language was also different. It talked about having access to a gun as opposed to carrying a gun. And 50% said no, they would not want to see any teacher administrator having access to a gun at school.
Now, it's a very unscientific poll, right? He sent out an email to teachers, but they could have forwarded it and other people could answer this poll theoretically, right?
So it's Yes, there was no action taken to make sure that every teacher had answered it only once.
Right.
There was no identification of respondents.
Significant because he sent it out. It's sent directly to teachers. And I understand that this is the biggest response he's ever gotten to these informal polls that he sends out, right?
It is. It was more than double what he's received on the poll that had received the next largest response.
Well, that's pretty good. So you talked to him, Superintendent Johnson, about the poll and its significance. Let's hear what he had to say.
Right now, we just want to hear specifically on this topic what teachers' opinions are. Using that can add to the conversation, talking of the budget requests with this new special committee, especially in the NC House, of really putting everything on the table and saying, what are some practices that we can look at and how much are those going to cost?
That's Republican State School Superintendent Mark Johnson talking about an online poll that he sent to teachers via email. I'm here with WUNC education policy reporter Liz Schlemmer. Now, he mentioned something about a House committee. So is the legislature looking into this possibility?
Yes. Yeah, so a few days after the Parkland shooting, Speaker of the House Tim Moore announced a new committee on school safety. They're going to look at procedures and policies around school safety at public schools. No word on exactly what will be looked at, but they're hoping to get input from school districts and from policy experts about what could be done.
The possibility of arming teachers has been proposed in the legislature, but it's never gotten very far, right?
Right. So Representative Larry Pittman from Cabarrus County has introduced legislation before that would allow permitted teachers to be able to conceal carry. That has largely been dismissed. It has not gone anywhere. He brought that up actually recently in another committee on emergency management in which they were talking about school safety. And this was a little bit before the Parkland shooting, a little bit after some other national school shootings or school shootings that reached national media.
Right.
And when he brought that up, there were other representatives, including Senator Ron Rabin, who said, well, I would caution going down that path. Ron Rabin is is an Army veteran. He was in Vietnam, and he said, you know, it's really hard to know how teachers are going to respond in a very chaotic situation, and he cautioned against that.
His point is that you can be trained to use a gun, but being trained in a situation, an emergency situation like that is another thing entirely. All right. Well, that's fascinating stuff. As we say, it's a very informal poll, but one piece of the puzzle as we move forward and consider public policy. Liz Schlemmer, WNC Education Policy Reporter, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
You can see links to Liz's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Let's turn now to the conversation to another part of our community, one that is also reacting to the national conversation about guns, or is it? Reporter Martha Quillen spoke with faith leaders in Raleigh about how they talk about guns to their congregations and found out they don't say much. Martha Quillen, faith and society reporter for the News and Observer. Welcome back, Martha.
Thank you very much.
So what did you hear? You talked to a number of faith leaders just to get a sense of whether or not, you know, gun control is anything they can talk about from the pulpit. What did they tell you?
Well, I found sort of a mix of things, as you might imagine. This is important to churches because, first of all, churches themselves are considered by law enforcement soft targets. And so some of them are already having conversations and have been for a while about how to make sure that their congregations are safe in their own sanctuaries. But then beyond that, you know, the discussion about guns in society and gun violence. And nearly all people of faith will say that they believe that gun violence needs to be curbed. They just disagree on how to do this. And they don't always divide according to whether their church or their denomination leans liberal or conservative.
That speaks to the divisions that you would expect among any congregation. But what are the pastors? How do they see their role in guiding this conversation?
Well, pastors say that, especially since the 2016 election and this sort of increasing sense of polarization in society, they are hyper-aware is the word that one pastor used. They are hyper-aware of how dangerous it is to even approach some subjects, particularly really sensitive subjects. They're always afraid that they will offend someone on one side or the other of an issue. And, of course, you have people who sit in a congregation every week who come to church partly because they feel like this is a place that they can go to avoid all political discussion. And pastors are afraid of offending all of those people because, you know, they rely on tithes and offerings for their own salaries and for the salaries of their staff and for all of the ministries of their church. And so they don't want to put people off and have them either withhold their financial support or leave the church altogether.
Now, churches are not immune from this or at all opposed to it. Certainly there are churches that talk openly about abortion. They tell their congregants what to think about abortion and even who to vote for. So it's not as though churches don't talk about political issues. Do they see this one as somehow different?
Well, it's complicated. It's you have some religious conservatives who, or theological conservatives, who might favor restrictions, age restrictions on the purchasing of gun or of a gun or the required background checks. And you also will have theological liberals who believe that it's okay for your ushers to carry concealed weapons in church. And so it doesn't divide as cleanly as you might think. And the religious, the spirituality of this is also very tangled up. You have religious conservatives who view gun violence as more of a sin problem than a gun problem, and their remedy for that would be to put God back in schools and into other political or public institutions. And they also, a lot of religious conservatives see gun control as an infringement on the Second Amendment, which you wouldn't think would be a spiritual issue, but many of them believe that the United States was created or at least blessed by God, and for them, any kind of infringement on the Second Amendment is tampering with what they sort of regard as a sacred text of the U.S. Constitution. And they also believe that they have this God-given responsibility to protect their loved ones.
Another spiritual question, I suppose, that can be involved in the gun debate is, are the social conditions that have led to the epidemic of gun violence in the United States. Obviously, the ease with which you can get a gun is the thing that separates us from other developed countries that don't have this. But there are these other factors. Is that any part of the spiritual, the religious conversation?
It absolutely is. For religious liberals in particular, they see a gun problem. They see gun violence as a symptom or a result of a lot of other social ills, including poverty and income inequality, uneven access to mental health care treatment, and this ready access to weapons. And you also have a lot of religious liberals who come from a pacifist tradition. I talked to one pacifist preacher from the Mennonite Church in Raleigh, whose position was that even in self-defense, she would rather, and those who follow in her church, she said that a lot of those people would rather die than take someone else's life, even in self-defense.
So pastors reluctant to, in fact, I like your tweet on this. You tweeted that some churches talk about gun control the way they dodge store-bought desserts at a covered dish dinner. I like that. So they're reluctant to tell people what to think about it. Do they see themselves as the locus for the conversation? Do they want to generate conversations, or is that even too dangerous?
In my experience, the more theologically liberal churches are more inclined to have this conversation because they believe, I think, that it's going to be more welcome. You know, they're going to get more engagement, and a lot of liberal-leaning churches are having these conversations, or at least beginning to have them. It's a little bit more fraught, I think, in a more right-leaning congregation.
Martha, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you.
Martha Quillen is Faith and Society reporter for The News and Observer. You can find links to more of Martha's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, fake news. Where is it? We'll talk about that and how we get our news, how we process our news, misinformation, disinformation, and more information on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.